that I think we're going to read in Romans chapter 6, and I would just like to read verse 16, 17, and 18. Well, all the way through 23. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now, verse 19 is a little complicated. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. I'm going to read this in my version. Some of these verses I translated myself. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all of this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He talks here about an end of a path. What sermon did you hear lately that makes you, that you think of with these verses? You hear any sermons lately that would connect with these verses? What was Sunday morning's title? What? God's attribute of holiness. That's pretty close to what I wrote down. Maybe I wrote the wrong thing down.
Is holiness important?
Is holiness important? Well, let me back up. I thought it was the road. Yes, that's what I have. The road of holiness. Oh, no, that was the first question or the statement. But then in quotes I have, is holiness important? So that was what he said was his title. And while he was preaching, I kept thinking about what I wanted to share for the council service tonight. Turn with me back now to John 8. Because I was thinking when he said holiness, I kept thinking of what the Lord laid on my heart for baptism at Hidden River and then communion up at Hepburn Street. And I feel like I'm repeating myself, but it's okay because I need this message too. And in John chapter 8, Jesus is talking about discipleship, and I'm just going to read a few verses here. How about verse 12? Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jumping to verse 23, he says this. He said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And then picking up again in verses 31 through 32, he says this. Then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So tonight, I just want to speak on the path of discipleship. And I would like to look at this as the profile. And then we would like to think about the problems. And then we're going to talk about pitfalls. And then we're going to talk about the path. Okay, that's the 4 points I'd like to use for this message tonight as we unfold, unpack this subject. Now, this is a subject that there is very, very much about in the New Testament of how to find the way of discipleship.
which is equal to holiness. Because you said, he said you were then you were servants to sin and you went to into iniquity, but if you're following Christ, you're going to walk in holiness and walk in abundance of life. But rather than focusing on holiness, which means freedom from sin, we're going to be thinking more about following Jesus, because discipleship focuses on a person. So there's some difference in the message, but you're going to hear many things that are very similar to the same. I'd like to start with a profile, because the profile is, well, you get that when you're in a coloring book. Remember when you used to color? Maybe some of you still do. In a coloring book, you had the outline, but you got to fill it in according to your own imagination. But you saw the outward sketch of Jesus or one of the disciples or somebody on a horse or a cow or whatever it is, and you got to make it look according to the way you wanted it to look. And this evening, we have a profile, and the outline is always the same, but how it's filled in by you is going to be different than how it's filled in by me, because our personality is involved. But every one of us has to fit into the profile of a disciple. And there are three things that come. If you look up the word disciple, there's three things that come in with the profile. And one of them is the fact that a disciple spends time with his master. Now, that's also going to be the path a little while later, so we'll expand on that later. He spends time with his master. You can't be a disciple if you don't spend time with a disciple of Jesus. You don't spend time with him. Maybe you're a disciple of Android or a disciple of Apple or a disciple of the news or a disciple of some podcaster. I don't know, because these things are serious threats to our Christian life. But maybe you have some other diversion that you rather takes up your time and fills up your interest. But the world passeth away and the lust thereof. He that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. And so that's the focus for tonight, thinking about who am I really spending time with. Secondly, the second definition of a disciple, or what I found when I looked it up in Strong, is that he learns from his master. His master is teaching him things that he did not know about, he did not understand before, he had no knowledge of. And Jesus came with a lot of things about heaven and eternity and rewards and what matters and what doesn't and what we should do and not do. And he made those things very plain. And the question is, am I listening on him? Am I learning? Not just spending time, but am I learning from what he has to say? Are those things entering into my ears and into my mind and into my heart and changing me from the inside out? And that is a big question. The third definition or profile of a disciple is he takes on the disciplines of his master. In other words, you spend so much time with somebody, after a while you kind of act like them. It's interesting to me, it's still that way. If somebody from down south comes around, I start talking southern again, because it's just what comes out, you know. And if you're around a good person, have you spent enough time around Jesus that you just take on his mannerisms? Have you got the generosity of his heart, the love of his heart, to where you don't have that evil eye anymore, but you are generous because you know that he wants you to be loving? Well, that's part of filling it in, isn't it? So I don't want to go there yet. Number two is problems. We have some problems with being disciples, and one of those problems tonight is that we have never seen him with our natural eyes. You've seen pictures of Jesus, and I doubt if any of them look like he does. Maybe you've even seen somebody acting out the role of Jesus. I haven't, but yes, I guess maybe I've seen the enactment of, for a very little bit, of the passion of Jesus being beat and the blood going everywhere. It's a terrible, horrible thing whenever you actually see it in person, but the Bible describes it. But we're going talking about the problem. We have never seen him with our natural eyes. And so for us to envision what he looks like. The disciples that we do see are flawed. That's the second problem. I see disciples of Jesus, but I don't know of anybody who's as perfect as he is. You can always see some kind of flaw somewhere, because we're human. And if you take all the flaws that you want out of other people, and they're all good Christians, and so you can have those flaws too, because they're copying Jesus and you're copying them. And listen, if you're going to copy other people, it doesn't matter how much they think they're saints. Nobody is a saint like Jesus is. We have to keep our eyes on him. But the disciples that we see are flawed. And the devil may already be telling you you're better than other people. So what's the use of copying them anyway? But that's who we see, our own flawed people around us. The third problem that I have is probably my worst one, and that is our very own identity. The fact of the matter is that I am myself, and unless I really spend time with Jesus, I don't know how to be anything different than that. You know, it's our default setting is our own carnality, our own selfishness. May I say our own temperament, our own personality. We have our weaknesses, and it's easy to justify them because I'm just being me. It's something that comes out in marriages, because you can't be somebody else unless, well, can we? If we take up our cross and follow him, then we can. And the fourth problem is this. Jesus insists on being first in our lives or not at all. He just says that. He says that if he's not the Lord, and this morning I should have brought that poem along in our Living a Pure Life class. We read through a poem that was written 202 years ago, and in there Jesus says that I gave everything for you. Are you going to try to give me half of yourself? And I gave my life for you. Are you going to give something less than your life for me? And when you don't give everything to me, what you give to others is you're giving to my worst enemy. You know, whenever you're living for self or the devil, you are serving Jesus' worst enemy. Isn't that something? Anyway, it's a fascinating poem because it's still true 202 years later that if we don't serve him completely. And so Jesus insists on being first in our lives or not at all. That's what these verses are saying. Now, the reason I'm leaving all this room is I want to try to draw something of the pitfalls, because this is what we're going to define as the path of discipleship. And on this side of the road, we're going to talk about, we're going to give these two different names, is disobedience. Or faith only. As long as you're saved, it doesn't matter what you do, but this is definitely, I wanted to try to draw this as a bridge, okay? Like this, sort of like this, but I don't know how to make it look like a bridge. But if you aren't on the path, you're falling into a chasm, you're going into disobedience, and this is a very heavy, heavy weight of mine. I don't honestly know what to do with it. We were at a memorial service not long ago with some friends, people that I knew, and all of these people, the pictures that they had were of traditional Mennonites in coverings and cape dresses and plain suits and the whole thing. But nobody, well, there was a couple exceptions, but all of them had forsaken that and left it all behind. And I realize there's some things about our discipleship that wouldn't necessarily, you can't say, well, this is what the Bible said. But in forsaking things, and they talk so much about salvation. It's so wonderful to be saved and to have a glowing testimony and being ready to die and going out into eternity to be with the Savior. Well, that's just a disobedience, faith only. And I'm going to just put this in a box because live for the thrill of sin. That's over here, okay? And God forgives. I've got a question for you when I get done. The two characters that were in our devotions tonight, which one was on which side? Okay, God forgives, let him. That was a bumper sticker when I grew up in Florida. You'd see in cars, and it was basically this,
Go ahead and sin and tell God you're sorry and he'll forgive you. Everything will be okay. How much can I sin? Now I'm shaking my board too much. Can I sin and still be okay? Because obedience is not important. You just believe in it's faith only. And that's this side of the ditch. And so I don't know that I need to say a lot more about this. But on this side of the ditch then, we're looking at pitfalls, is perform. Because it's all about performance. And with your performance, there is some pretend. Because it's not genuine. Let me ask you this. Which side was Gehazi in the devotions we had this evening? Which side was he? Was he obviously a sinner? Or was he obviously a good man? Righteous under the law. Which one was he? He was pretending. But what was in his heart, he was performing. He was doing everything right. But what was in his heart eventually came out. Okay, what about, who was the man who got healed? Naaman? What about Naaman? Was he a good man or a wicked man? He was a wicked man. But you know what? That day he met something he had never met before. And he wanted to take a little dirt back. And he wanted to serve the God of Israel because of what God had done for him. And deep in his heart, he was really... But of course, this was Old Testament, so it's not discipleship. How can I look good to others? This was Brother Lamar's last point on Sunday morning when he talked about the fact that obedience creates culture. But if culture is what is worshipped, it's not enough. Because this is what has to change from the inside out. How can I look good to others? But if it just said, how can I look good to God, that would be a whole different story. But you got to come to council meeting and you've got to say you have peace with God and you have to say that you're keeping the standard of the church. But when you get home, this may not be. How can I prove I'm better? I'm better, competition, than the rest. Or, let's see, secret sins and intoxications. And it may just be addicted to terrible sins, or it may be, well, I got to have something that gives me the thrill of the life that I want to live. So that's the question that I have for you tonight. Are you really on the discipleship path? Oh, I wanted to draw heaven. And I don't know how to draw heaven. So I'm going to make it look like a city. And this is at the end of the road, okay? But if you fall off in this ditch, it's hellfire. And if you fall off in this ditch, is it heaven? This is also hell fire. So on one side we have hell, on the other side fire. And these are people going to be together. I hope we understand the reality of the fact that this is life. And this is where we are. And if you're not following Jesus, if I'm not following Jesus, I might be on this ditch or I might be on this ditch. But either one is going to the same place. There is only one way, and that is to be a servant of righteousness, to be a servant of the Lord Jesus. Now, that's what we're going to be talking about, choosing the path, and we're going to talk about this as our last point here this morning, evening, as we think about this. The path of discipleship, filling in the lines. I know that your life will look different than mine. But the profile is the same to be a disciple. But you get a chance to color yours with a cliff style or a loyal style or a whatever your name is, because your calling is different and it's unique. But Jesus wants you to be his disciple and put this into practice. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. And I would just like to go down through the things that he taught.
I would like to go through, we have these three points: spend time with the Master, learn from the Master, and embrace His disciplines. But if you go to the Sermon on the Mount, and you look at the blesseds, distress and persecution for acknowledging your sin, verse 3. Mourning because you need correction to grow to be like Christ. Being truly humble, in verse 5. Craving a position that is acceptable to God. I want what God has for me. And then there's compassionate attitudes in verse 7. There's free from that which soils all the world that would contaminate your soul and intoxicate your mind. You blessed are the pure in heart, or blessed are the peacemakers, those who love people and love peace and help people work things out in their lives and find peace in their own journey. And then those who are troubled for their faith. And those are things Jesus puts a high priority on. But which one of those do we know is reality? Well, we live in an environment that's pretty comfortable, and we don't have to have those things. But what about if we do? Jumping down to verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. Am I a witness of Jesus' saving power? Do I ever bring up His name and the change that He's made in my life? Or do I realize that Jesus wants us to fill up what was lacking in the law, what the law could not do? He said He didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill. And we are called not to the nitty-gritty details of the law, but the heartthrob of living a righteous life. How about overcoming anger, verse 22. Whosoever is angry with his brother. What about reconciling relationships? Being reconciled in your own relationship with other people, verse 25. But helping other people reconcile. And then purity of heart from verse 27 on down. As he talks about, if you look, then you're already taking a path of adultery, fornication, of wickedness. Single marriage relationships are so important. So it's not just having one companion, but giving your heart and soul totally to that person alone and no one else. No swearing, verse 33. Well, you learn not to say bad words. And I'm glad that we're convicted on this, but that's still something that Jesus taught. How about not taking revenge, turning the cheek, going the second mile, loving the enemies, and bless the ones who curse you? I was really impressed with the Myerstown program where they were singing. No, which one was it? Maybe it was Jonestown. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But children being taught to sing that if you curse me, I will bless you. This has to be our choice if we're following Jesus. Being good to all men. Not just the one that our Heavenly Father sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And able, complete, and out of the abundance of our heart and fullness to be able to relate to other people. You know, the first commandment is to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And recently I've been impressed that if you love people, then you will be generous with them. And if you are stingy, it's because you love somebody other than other people. It's because I love myself. And so I want to make sure I protect and care for everything that I have. These are things that matter to Jesus. He wants you to hide your charities, chapter 6. He wants you to pray in secret. You have conversations with God that other people don't know about. He wants you to pray from your heart rather than just praying from the street corner. He wants you to pray prayers like He prayed to His Heavenly Father. He wants you to have secret devotions. In verse 16 through 18, He wants you to be intentional with heavenly deposits. I know we love to go to the bank and make a deposit, don't we? Well, what are we carrying to heaven? What are we sending to heaven by way of good deeds that are totally unrecognized by other people here on the earth? They don't even see that we're doing that. And that's what He wants us to do, lay our treasure up there, because wherever you put a lot of money, that's what you naturally think about. And if your treasure's in heaven, that's where you're going to be thinking about. Generosity in business deals. Your eye is evil. That's a figure of speech in the Bible, all the way from the book of Proverbs throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament, for being stingy and driving a hard business deal.
Replace worry with trust. Verse 25, maybe this isn't a hard one when things aren't going so well. Do you lie in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning and go over all the things bad that could happen to you? That's not following Jesus. He says, look at the fowls in the air and how they make out. How in the world do birds live all winter long anyway? I guess people put enough of bird feeders out there. Well, birds were living all the winter long before people put bird feeders out there. It's amazing, isn't it? God fed them. How long do you and I have to lay awake and worry about our finances or worry about our health or worry about earth journey things? Well, did you get enough for your list yet? And this is just the Sermon on the Mount. Am I really a disciple of Jesus in that I learn from the Master? I'm actually working on number two now on the profile. We learn from the Master. How about putting Christ's kingdom first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. X out all competition. Judge not that you be not judged. And refuse to condemn and look at your brother with trying to find some speck in his eye. Refuse to do that. Rather, look to see, how do I look to Christ? What is wrong with me? Ask and it shall be given. God, tell God all of your desires or your needs and your desires. He wants to hear you as you tell him what you're looking for. And learn how to give good gifts to your children. That's what your Father wants to do for you. Choose self-denial and righteousness. Don't choose a path which will intensify your personal temptations for the forbidden. Choose a path that makes it easy for you to say no to your flesh. Beware of false prophets. Reject influencers and podcasters today who aren't Christian. Don't listen to them. Beware of false prophets. Why? If you could tell by the kind of life they live, because they will influence your souls. I know it's a day to, there's a beware of false prophets, but they say things, they have very convincing and flattering words. Don't listen to them. Turn that off and get away from that. We didn't have the opportunity as much as we do today. Be genuine. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And you know, that would be so tragic if somebody from our midst would get to the other side, the judgment seat of Christ, and Jesus would say, I know you're a member of Churchville, but I don't even know you. You're a worker of iniquity. You just did a good job covering it all up. Wouldn't that be so tragic? He says in Hebrews that obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy. I can't think of anything more heartbreaking. Yes, we see people reject and turn aside and go away from the gospel. But what if that would just come out at the judgment and there's no way to come back? Be holy. He says that I never knew you if you work iniquity. He says be obedient and take the commandments of Christ and build your house on them because the storm will come and you will stand. So these three things now, I'd just like to go over them again. We looked at this whole Sermon on the Mount and that's just the beginning of Jesus' teaching. Is my life centered on what he's taught us to follow? Fill in the lines and color it with the colors that he gives you, but make sure you stay in the lines and have something that really looks like a disciple when you're done. Number one, spend time with the Master. Do I have a regular time of devotions and prayer time? Do I actually spend time when I'm driving alone? Do I talk to him? Do I pray? Do I sing? What gives my attention? What am I after? My bank account or my relationship with the Lord? Do I sing and worship from my heart? If all my master time is missing, how big a hole would it leave? If all of a sudden the time you spent with your master was taken out of your life, would you even notice the difference? These are things to think about if you want to be his disciple. Number two, learn from the master. What do you want me, Lord, to learn from you in this season of life? I'm going to tell you something. It changes from when you're a young man, to married, to family, to older, to grandfather, to the stage of life that I'm at. What do you want me to learn in this season? And how can I be your hands and feet? Jesus isn't here today. How would he respond in this situation? Can I be his servant? And then embrace his disciplines. How much has following Jesus cost me? Because what have I taken in the cross? I think I've talked about they that are Christ have crucified the affections and the lust. Take your things that charm you to the cross. Take the things that afflict you and bring you suffering. Take them to the cross and realize the difference that he is. Tonight, I just have one question for you. You can answer. I mean, we'll have three. We'll listen to your testimony. But the question is, do I know what this road of discipleship is? Or am I spending time over here, or am I spending time over here? And I think you all look pretty good. So probably it's more a temptation to be over here than over here. But the question is, am I really finding my way? Other times I drew this, I tried to draw a picture of Jesus, but I left that off tonight. But he's there, and he's watching, and it's his path. And he is very much alive today. And he is ever lives, and he's making intercession for you and for me. And when we have problems, we can go to him and talk about it. He is alive. The fact of the matter is, it's easy for us to forget that and to take our own way and live our own course. Well, that's what I have to share tonight.